I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister in studio this hour. A little bonus hour. Lenny's our resident political analyst among the many hats he wears, including being a dad and busy with taking your kids to different events and places in between all the other stuff you do. So I appreciate your time, especially after you were up till 1 with our team last night.
Well, you're leaving out the most important part for this morning, Larry. You're leaving it out, which is
Oakmont Bakery.
There you go.
Look at Marty digging in out there.
There you go.
He tries to play the role. That's tiny. He just cut off a little tiny piece, which drives Paul Rasmussen insane. It's either eat the whole thing, don't leave any residuals.
Yeah, but you know what ends up happening with people like that? They're watching what they're eating, and then they go cut the other three pieces of the same donut throughout their show. I've seen this play out in radio before. Maybe not you, Marty. Yeah, exactly. But I won't name other radio show hosts, but they kind of go and they nibble throughout their 3 to 4 hours. So we'll see what he does today.
All right, Donald Trump is going back to the White House on day one. He had a list of things that he told us he was going to do. What do you think the first thing he's actually going to do?
I think the very first thing that Donald Trump will likely try to do is persuade the folks on Capitol Hill two things. One, I think there's going to be an attention given to economics, including what he sees as being protective tariffs. And I think that if that ends up being a big part of the economic agenda, one, you'll see a buildup around the world to prepare for that before he takes the oath of office. And then from there, once it happens, there's going to be some resonance that's going to happen within the global markets. I think the other thing he's going to do starting day one is de-escalate any American intervention in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And if that transpires, NATO has a choice to make from there, which is, do we pull out as well, or do we stay in? And now there's this triangulation between Russia, our biggest ally in the United States, and the rest of NATO. And that creates a very unique situation, because now the whole crux of what NATO's supposed to be starts coming into question.
Do you think, had Joe Biden stayed in the race, there would be a wider margin or less?
After the debate, definitely a wider margin, because he was not going to be able to articulate the message at all. And let's just be honest, Larry, the whole garbage comment from Joe Biden didn't allow the Harris campaign to take advantage of the garbage in Puerto Rico comment that the Madison Square Garden rally provided the Harris campaign. He went right out, and he was, and this is what's sad about his legacy. It was quintessential Joe Biden. Joe Biden's career is littered with him misspeaking and misstepping. Now, some of it was endearing when he was just a senator, or he was, quote unquote, just a vice president. You're at the top of the ticket, or you're the guy in the Oval Office, and you make those type of missteps, especially within 14 days of the election, that's not the legacy you want.
What does Joe Biden do from here to the end of his term, which is counted in weeks now? But he also enjoys the new Supreme Court ruling where he is immune to whatever he does as part of the job. Is there anything he can try to get done in his mind before the end of the year?
I think he's going to try to button down the hatches. I think he tries to play defense with as many things as possible. In their mind, they're going to say to themselves, we need to try to Trump-proof the most vulnerable areas of America, whether it's our secrets or how we do things geopolitically. Don't be shocked if you see a rash of executive orders coming out mid-November through January 19th to try to button down the hatches that the Trump administration is going to have to try to flip over or get some type of congressional action to flip over. And that's going to be, I think, part of the political game that's going to happen in Washington for the next 2 months.
How much of a factor do you believe Kamala Harris just being a minority female played in people?
A lot. A lot. I mean, the bottom line is in 2020, they were campaigning Joe and the H word. And that just ramped up to 10 when she became the presidential nominee. Look, I was texting a friend. We're still paying the price for having the first African-American president in 2008, because this country literally elected the exact opposite image after Obama in 2016. We ran two presidents against somebody that's had issues with women for decades. He is a guy that's been married three times. He is a guy that has had issues with women over the years.
American people don't care.
And the folks, well, is it because we care that much about the economy and certain policies? Or are we saying as a country, you know what? We say we care about certain principles, but in the end, are my groceries too expensive? Is gas too expensive? And if that's the case, it's hard for us to talk about being a city on a hill and making sure there's freedom and democracy elsewhere around the world when we're voting and saying that's not the top of the ticket for us anymore.
More to come with Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. I've got a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band, PPG Paints Arena. That's next weekend, November 15th, 412-922-1020. Caller number 7, 412-922-1020. See Dave Matthews, great artist. Meanwhile, conversation continues. Lenny McAllister, our, what would you call it, your home team, KDKA political analyst, right?
And donut delivery guy on a post-election Wednesday.
Let's be honest. They always help. So thank you for that. And thank you again for getting up after being here very, very late. It's a very atypical day. One of the takeaways, though, as the outcome was made official in the 5 o'clock hour, is the fact that there is an outcome that's decided. We don't have to go through the agony of one side saying there's fraud. Where's all the fraud calls now?
I mean, and it kind of shows what the playbook was going to be, which was if it's close, you claim fraud. If it's a landslide, you shut up. And it's Larry, it's where we are as a country. And it, again, the principles that we said that we have, I don't think we do anymore, or at least not right now. And the part of it is, if you look at American history, we had some principles, but we always were found wanting in other principles. Again, it's a pursuit of a more perfect union, not a perfect union. And this is going to be something we're going to have to remember. And for those that are highly disappointed this morning, I take you back to 1968. I take you back to the 1970s. I take you back to the 1950s. I take you back to the 1860s. I take you back to Reconstruction. We have gone through hard things before. This group of Americans has gone through 9/11, the Iraqi war. We have gone through the Great Recession, and we've gone through a pandemic. We're tougher than we think, but we have to be resilient to do the right things moving forward, starting in 2025, and not have this just shrug our shoulders, I give up, we're a horrible country, or Trump's going to fix everything and everything he does is going to work. That's not what America is, and that's not how we're going to be successful.
He did say first day he was going to end the war in Ukraine.
He will end it because he's going to cut off funding. And he's going to create a fission between where NATO is and where America will be moving forward. The sentiment in the country has been growing more isolationist over the years anyway. So this is just going to feed into that. And the result's going to be that Russia will likely overcome in Ukraine. And the next step's going to be, does Putin stop there? Or does Putin look to the northwest of Russia and start looking at Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, start looking at Finland, who was a recent inducted member into NATO? How do we look at NATO? People forget that Donald Trump fought with NATO in regards to how much of their GDP they were giving to the NATO budget. Now, historically, he's not the first president that did that, but he did it in a way that was much more shocking than what we have seen from past presidents. Does that ramp back up in order for us to stay an active member of NATO? Or do we just say, look, we'll do it alone and we'll go it alone and we're going to be more isolationist, and that has an impact on geopolitical matters across the world in the next 4 years?
That said, they're starting to get reaction around the world, leaders with Commander-in-Chief to be again, Donald Trump. They're getting and if you're a foreign leader, you have to be careful, I would imagine, how exactly to frame it if you aren't a fan of Donald Trump. But if you are, obviously, but he's the most powerful man on earth.
And he knows, those leaders know that if you flatter him, it'll get you almost everywhere. And I think the more dangerous thing is that from an American standpoint, he might not be the most powerful person in the world any longer. Because if he's not willing to push back on the aggression and the threat that is Vladimir Putin running Russia, and he's going to acquiesce to Russian interest, it's no longer the president of the United States that is running things. It is the Russian president that is running things.
Ukraine's wartime president, Vladimir Zelensky, congratulated Trump, quote, an impressive election victory, an era of strong United States of America under President Trump's decisive leadership. Obviously, he wants to continue to have the support of the United States.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he's going to have a very hard time trying to figure out how to heal that relationship, because the president of Ukraine was also pretty actively and openly hoping that at the time Joe Biden would win re-election, and then was hoping that the continuation of policies under Biden would happen under a President Harris, and that's just not going to happen now.
Lenny McAllister with us. And we'll have more reaction and maybe at some point find out if that Senate seat in the Pennsylvania race we've got Dave McCormick, who we talked to yesterday, Bob Casey, the incumbent. It's so close. Dave McCormick is still in the lead. And we'll check in with Marty Griffin in this half hour. He'll be joining us 10 until 2. He just got off his BBC interview. That's how important Pittsburgh has been in Pennsylvania in this process. And Donald Trump did win Pennsylvania and won the White House back. Lenny McAllister is in studio. By the way, normally Christine Sorensen, Marty's wife, is here talking about Kidsburg, but due to the election and she had late duties, she'll return with us next Wednesday. So, Lenny, it's going to take a little while for people one way or the other to kind of settle back in and think, okay, what will the next presidency look like? I think in 2016, obviously Donald Trump didn't have the experience of being president. He does have the advantage of being president for 4 years. In the last 4 years, going through what seemed insurmountable objects to get him back to this point. What will Donald Trump II look like in the White House?
bolder, definitely bolder. Republicans are using the word mandate. And when you hear that, and you have portions of the government lining up with one political party, major things happen. Now, let's go back to what happened with Barack Obama being elected in 2008. Because there was a supermajority for a hot second and a big majority in the House of Representatives, you got Obamacare. Now, for those that have been able to benefit from Obamacare, that's a great thing. And that's the type of thing you can get done when you have historic elections and things line up. People also forget two things in the immediate aftermath of that time in the Obama tenure. Number one, President Obama saying, we're going to have shovel-ready jobs, and then coming back and saying, well, I guess those shovel-ready jobs weren't as shovel-ready as we thought, which meant that the economy was lagging. And those that went into the Obamacare exchanges, one, remember, the website crashed horrifically, repeatedly, and then the price of the premiums that was supposed to be affordable simply was not. Sometimes when political parties have mandates and they just push through what they campaigned on, and there's not that back and forth that the founding fathers wanted us to have in government, you have those type of hiccups. You saw it with Barack Obama in 2008, 2009, 2010. It will be interesting to see if Donald Trump has that economically and with some of the issues I've been bringing up previously, because they now think in Washington, D.C., from a Republican standpoint, they have a mandate going into 2025 and beyond.
It better all work, especially if you have the House and the Senate, too. Otherwise, it will become really obvious really quickly what the reality of what you say is.
Yes. And on top of that, you still have moderate Republicans that, in the House of Representatives, they got to run in 2026. So even what you saw, again, going back to the Democratic example 15 years ago, you saw moderate Democrats going into the Obamacare debates, and you remember the whole thing about Gatorade and Cornhusker kickback. They were making deals because they said, look, we're going to get sacrificed in the midterms if we don't do this right. And they did. There was a shellacking. The Tea Party wave of 2010 hit them hard. You're still going to see some swing districts in the House and maybe even one of those vulnerable Senate seats going into 2026 of people saying, I know, Mr. President, you feel like you have a mandate, but I have an election coming up, and they're going to be caught in a really tough spot, because they're going to have to look at Trump supporters, look at the Trump voters that voted him in 2024, look at the White House, and then go back to their own district and say, I'm trying to make this work. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with this quote-unquote mandate.
In the meantime, speaking of the Senate, we still don't have official word. Dave McCormick, the Republican candidate, is still in the lead. I think Paul said about 60,000 votes at this time, with in the 90s percentage-wise of the vote counted. But there's a county in Philadelphia that is blue that may or may not be enough to tip it back to Bob Casey's way, but we'll wait to see. It looks like Dave McCormick has pulled off a big, big win.
And Larry, I don't think, again, and we talked about this, those row offices, they all went Republican. It's hard to think that all those races are going to go Republican, Donald Trump's going to win Pennsylvania, and Dave McCormick's going to lose. I mean, I don't anticipate that happening. I think it's going to end up being McCormick. Now, to your point, and again, all the listeners out there, it's not official, so that's not what we're saying. But what we're saying is, if you just look at the trends, look at the numbers, and look at how everything else is played out across the state, it's likely.
If you're Dave McCormick, you're feeling pretty good right now.
Yes.
All right, more to come. We're going to check in with Marty, too. I'm with Lenny McAllister on this post-election day on the Big K Morning Show. And get Marty, and we thank Lenny McAllister, our in-studio political analyst, for coming in. And short turnaround duty, Lenny, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And bringing in the Oakmont Bakery.
Well, he's a central boy, man. We deliver like FedEx, bro. We run this town. We own this town. We are this town. And the rest of you are just bums. Degenerates, outsiders. Let me just say this. I love my boy Trump. My man.
Oh.
I'm doing a Rob Pratt. Trump's wonderful. Hey, man, you know why I love him right now, Larry? Well, Larry gained $1 million in his portfolio, but mine went up 14 bucks.
Ah.
The market's up 1,000 points right now. My rich buddies, and you know I got plenty of them, right? They are going through the roof. Trump, 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 Trump.
You want to know who else is saying Trump, 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 Trump right now, Marty and Larry? The person that won the most in Pennsylvania is Josh Shapiro, because I'm going to say it right now.
Hell yeah.
Josh Shapiro will be the next president of the United States, because if he can get through 2026, the Democrats will not make the same mistake they made this year. They will make sure they go get a two-term Pennsylvania governor. They'll put him on the ticket. Because Trump won, Josh Shapiro's chance to be the next president of the United States starting in January 2029 has never looked better.
Wow.
Hey, hey, she didn't win one county in the whole country. She did not win one county that Biden won. He did better in every single county in the country than her.
You mean?
In the whole country, from this election. Biden did better when he won in every single county that she was up against him. Same people, same election, different time.
How much of that do you think is, I don't want a woman or a minority woman?
People want money, man. They want change. 70% of Americans wanted change. We can see it, man. I felt a little vibe in the last couple of days. As you know, I thought she had a little momentum. But from day one, we've been saying Trump was going to win this thing. Too many angry people. And to Lenny's point, the Democrats went so far left that they're off the cliff, man. And they better head back to the middle. They're done. DOA. Man, I got some angry, incensed Democrats texting me.
So they're going to have to go back and figure it out.
My man Trump.
Isn't the idea to figure out what people want?
Trump's making me rich this morning. Larry got $1 million already in his portfolio. The market's up 1,000 points. Yeah, baby. Hey, I'm going to ask a question. Are you better off or worse off? Did you win or lose last night? I'm really kind of curious what the lunatic fringe has to say.
Lenny, what do you say?
I don't know. Because I really don't know if Donald Trump's going to run the country the way he campaigned, considering he doesn't have the people around him that will restrain some of his wilder urges. He replaced all those people. Those people literally said he should not be president, and now he still won. And if that's the case, and he has the impact that he's been talking about, there's going to be ramifications, like I've been saying, from international affairs to even trade, especially if he puts those tariffs into place the way he's saying. Because people think that he's going to put tariffs into place and the other countries are going to say, we're so sorry, America, we'll do whatever you say. No, what they're going to do is they're going to pivot away from trading with America. That's literally when we tried to do TPP in 2016 and Trump killed it. What ended up happening was the other Pacific Rim nations went and made a deal with China, which cut the United States out. Those are the type of things that we will not hear about because they're not as sexy in the media, but it will have an impact on us down the road.
Yeah, but let me say this. Biden didn't take out those tariffs.
No,
he
didn't.
Benefited from the revenue from
it,
brother.
So that's the problem. That's the problem that
hypocrites.
Harris. That's the problem that Harris had. And so when Harris went on The View and said, what would you change from what President Biden did? And she said, nothing. That, Marty, to your point, that includes that. So, of course, people go, see what I mean? Same old, and the same reason why they voted Trump in 2016, which was they wanted change and they were angry at the establishment, is part of what got baked into the cake last night, and the same exact thing in many regards played out.
Hey, 25% of black men voted for Trump. That's an astounding number, isn't it, Lenny?
But that comes from the Kamala Harris, the prosecutor, dynamic. I've talked to multiple black men that simply could not reconcile within themselves the fact that she's a former prosecutor that did not make criminal justice issues better for black men in California while she was there, because she seemingly was more concerned about building a career than making things right. And she got to become the vice president of the United States, but it bit her in the tail last night.
What happens to her?
She'll be fine.
She will be in private practice. She'll be in private business, and that's where she'll make her money. She'll sit on board. She'll go from there. She's not coming back.
Write a book. Well, I'm not worried about her.
She'll write a couple of books. She'll write a book or two, but she's not. She's going to do the Hillary Clinton route, but she's going to be younger and have a little bit more of a runway to make that money.
Lenny McAllister, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
God bless you both, and thanks for having me, Larry.
And what about those tariffs?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.